Chapter 23. And that the tigerish gale throughout the night gave fearful finish to the English rage. By luck there Nelson's gone, but gone with Allar 20,000 prisoners, taken off to gnaw their fingernails in British hulks. Of our vast squadrons of the summer time, but rags and splintered remnants now remain. Thus wise Villeneuve, poor Craven, quitted him. And England puffed to yet more bombastry. Well, well, I can't be everywhere. No matter, a victory's brewing here as counterpoise. These water rats may paddle in their salt slush, and welcome. Tis not long they'll have the lead. Ships can be wrecked by land. Another voice, and how by land, your majesty, if one may query such? Voice of Napoleon, sardonically, I'll bid all states of Europe shut their ports to England's arrogant bottoms, slowly starve her bloated revenues and monstrous trade, till all her hulls lie sodden in their docks, and her grey island eyes in vain shall seek one jack of hers upon the ocean plains. Voice of Soult, a few more master strokes, your majesty, must be dealt here about to compass such. Voice of Napoleon, God, yes. Even here pit skinnies are the foes. Tis all a duel twixt this pit and me, and, more than Russia's host, and Austria's flower, I everywhere tonight around me feel, as from an unseen monster haunting nigh his country's hostile breath. But come, to choke it by our tomorrow's feats, which now, in brief, I recapitulate. First Soult will move to forward the grand project of the day, namely, ascend in echelon, right to front, with Vandam's men, and those of St. Hilaire. Legrand's division somewhere further back nearly whereat I place my finger here to be there reinforced by Tirleur's. Lands to the left here, on the Olmütz road, supported by Murat's whole cavalry. While in reserve, here, are the Grenadiers of Oudinot, the Corps of Bernadotte, Rivaud, Drouet, and the Imperial Guard. Marshal's voices, even as we understood, sire, and have ordered. Not lacks but day, to light our victory. Voice of Napoleon, now let us up and ride the bivouacs round, and note positions ere the soldiers sleep. Omit not from tomorrow's home dispatch direction, that this blow of Trafalgar be hushed in all the news sheets sold in France, or, if reported, let it be portrayed as a rash fight whereout we came not worst, but were so broken by the boisterous eve that England claims to be the conqueror. There emerged from the tent Napoleon and the marshals, who all mount the horses that are led up, and proceed through the frost and time towards the bivouacs. At the emperor's approach to the nearest soldiery they spring up. Soldiers, the emperor. He's here. The emperor's here. An old grenadier approaching Napoleon familiarly, we'll bring the Russian guns and flags galore, to celebrate thy coronation day. They gather in two whists the straw, hay, and other litter on which they have been lying, and kindling these at the dying fires, wave them as torches. This is repeated as each fire is reached, till the whole French position is one wide illumination. The most enthusiastic of the soldiers follow the emperor in a throng as he progresses, and his whereabouts in the vast field is denoted by their cries. Chorus of pities, aerial music, strange suasive pull of personality. Chorus of ironic spirits, his projects they unknow, his grin unsee. Chorus of the pities, their luckless hearts say blindly. The night shades close over. Scene 2, the same. The Russian position, midnight at the quarters of Field Marshal Prince Kutuzov at Krasnoyarsk. An inner apartment is discovered, roughly adapted as a council room. On a table with candles, is unfolded a large map of Austerlitz and its environs. The generals are assembled in consultation round the table, where they're pointing to the map, Langeron, Buxhovden, and Miloradovich standing by, Doctorov bending over the map, Przybyszewski, 13, indifferently walking up and down. Kutuzov, old and weary, with a scarred face and only one eye, is seated in a chair at the head of the table, nodding, waking, and nodding again. Some officers of lower grade are in the background, and horses in waiting are heard hoofing and champing outside. Werther speaks, referring to memoranda, snuffing the nearest candle, and moving it from place to place on the map as he proceeds importantly. Werther, now here, our right, along the Olmutz Road will march and oust our counterfacers there, dislodge them from the Sainten Hill, and thence advance direct to Brunn. You heed me, sirs? The cavalry will occupy the plain. Our center and main strength, you follow me? Count Langeron, Doctorov, with Przybyszewski and Kollarath now on the Pratzen Heights will down and cross the Goldbach Rivulet, seize Tilnitz, Kabelnitz, and Hamlets nigh, turn the French right, move onward in their rear, cross Schwarza, hold the Great Vienna Road. So, with the nightfall, center, right, and left, will rendezvous beneath the walls of Brunn. Langeron, taking a pinch of snuff, good. General, very good, if Bonaparte will kindly stand, and let you have your way. But what if he do not, if he forestall these sound slow movements, mount the Pratzen Hills when we descend, fall on our rear forthwith, while we go crying for his rear in vain? Kutuzov, waking up, Werther, that's the question, Werther, impatiently, if Bonaparte had meant to climb up there, being one so spry and so determinate, he would have set about it ere this eve. He has not troops to do so, sirs, I say. His utmost strength is 40,000 men. Langeron, then if so weak, how can so wise a brain court ruin, by abiding calmly here the impact of a force so large as ours? He may be mounting up this very hour. What think you, General Miloradovich? Miloradovich, What's the use of thinking, when tomorrow will tell us, with no need to think at all? Werther, pa! At this moment he retires apace. His fires are dark. All sounds have ceased that way save voice of our mongrel wintering there. But, were he nigh, these movements I detail, would knock the bottom from his enterprise. Kutuzov, rising, well. Now this being ordered, set it going. One here shall make fair copies of the notes, and send them round. Colonel Van Tol I ask to translate part. Generals, it grows full late, and half a dozen hours of needed sleep will aid us more than maps. We now disperse, and luck attend us all. Good night. Good night.
The generals and other officers go out severally.
Such plans are paper. Only tomorrow's light reveals the true maneuver to my sight.
He flaps out with his hand all the candles, but one or two, slowly walks outside the house, and listens. On the high ground in the direction of the French lines are heard shouts, and a wide illumination grows and strengthens. But the hollows are still mantled in fog.
Are these the signs of regiments out of heart, and beating backward from an enemy?
He remains pondering. On the Pratzen Heights immediately in front there begins a movement among the Russians, signifying that the plan which involves desertion of that vantage ground is about to be put in force. Noises of drunken singing arise from the Russian lines at various points elsewhere. The nightshades involve the whole.
Scene 3, the same. The French position, shortly before dawn on the morning of the 2nd of December.
A white frost and fog still prevail in the low-lying areas, but overhead the sky is clear. A dead silence reigns. Napoleon, on a gray horse, closely attended by Berthier, and surrounded by Marshals Soult, Lannes, Murat, and their aides-de-camp, all cloaked, is discernible in the gloom riding down from the high ground before Belowitz, on which they have bivouacked, to the village of Puntowitz on the Goldbach stream. Quite near the front of the Russian position of the day before on the Pratzen crest. The Emperor and his companions come to a pause, look around and upward to the hills, and listen.
Napoleon, their bivouac fires, that lit the top last night, are all extinct. Lannes, and hark you, sire, I catch a sound which, if I err not, means the thing we have hoped, and hoping, feared fate would not yield. Napoleon, my God, it surely is the tramp of horse and jolt of cannon downward from the hill toward our right here, by the swampy lakes that face Davout? Thus, as I sketched, they work. Murat, yes,
They already move upon Tilnitz. Napoleon, leave them alone. Nor stick nor stone will stir to interrupt them. Not that we can scheme will help us like their own stark sightlessness. Let them get down to those white lowlands there, and so far plunge in the level that no skill, when sudden vision flashes on their fault, can help them, though despair stung, to regain the key to mastery held at Yesterov. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.